as we talk about how Christianity has changed the world, and again, mentioned, hello.
Not sure what that means. Switch. Oh, that means switch, doesn't it? I get it. Let me turn this off. It's like hand signals. I should learn. It's great. Okay, that, can you hear me? This work? A little bit of echo maybe, but what was I talking about? What was the last intelligible thing I said? It's been several weeks probably, right? A what? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Sean. Very good. I was. Again, just to apologize, it doesn't have a lot of scripture in it, very few references at all, but I think it's an important topic to think about as we go through history and have a deeper grasp of the impact that Christianity has had, especially as we find ourselves in a culture that is quite happy to keep disrespecting and ridiculing and mocking Christianity and Christians. So actually, God has used the Christian faith, his movement, the cause of Christ, to do great things in our world, and we get to celebrate that. I have a plant in our house, or at our house, that I don't like. It's called the Virginia Creeper. And I think we have a picture up. This is what it looks like, a five-leafed plant, a little vine that crawls and it makes its way up the side of our house every spring and summer. And so when I see it, I yank it down and cut it out and oftentimes get out a shovel and try to dig it up by the roots. It does not matter, though. It always comes back the next year. And what amazes me about it is, although I cut it all the way to the ground, it starts all over each spring and makes that vine along the foundation of the house, then sends up these shoots that go all the way up, not quite like this. But there's shoots and vines that go all the way up to second story and start wrapping around the gutters and stuff. So it's not a good thing. And we don't want to end up like that. And my house, of course, is not close to looking like that. But that's what happens when it goes unchecked. How it can grow so much in so little time amazes me. But the Bible describes a similar situation with another plant, and that is the mustard plant and the mustard seed, as Matt read about for us earlier. It starts off as just a little tiny seed, but then it grows into a plant so large that even the birds can use it for shade. It's pretty cool, pretty incredible what God does. Of course, Jesus' purpose in telling us that parable about mustard seeds wasn't to give us a lecture on agriculture or horticulture or anything like that. It was to describe the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and how it grows from very small beginnings into the glorious kingdom of our Lord. The Lord Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ, has experienced that kind of incredible growth. 2,000 years ago, Jesus called the 12 disciples to follow him. Then 3 years later, he died and rose again and then ascended to heaven. A few days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the church was born. Since that time, like a mustard seed that starts out tiny, Christianity has grown into the largest religion in the world and is followed by nearly one-third of the world's population in nearly every nation on the planet. And along the way, Christianity has affected practically every aspect of human life. It has helped shape how entire cultures think, how we speak, how we read and write, how we mark the passage of time. It has influenced and shaped how we value and treat one another, how we address the deepest questions of the human soul, how we live, how we love, how we view what is truly good in life. In fact, many of humankind's noblest and kindest deeds find their motivation in love for Jesus Christ. And some of humanity's greatest discoveries and accomplishments were done in service and honor to a carpenter from Nazareth. Napoleon once said, "I search in vain in history to find anyone similar to Jesus Christ or anything which can approach the gospel. Nations pass away, thrones crumble, but the church remains." As I said last week, Christianity has been the greatest force for good in the history of the world. Take away Christianity and the very standard of life we enjoy and that Western civilization knows would disappear. Without Christians, without Christian ethics and values, without a Christian worldview, the freedoms, liberty, and morality that we now enjoy would soon be gone. Even our concepts of truth and absolutes would be lost. And tragically, you don't have to think very hard to imagine the horror of what would fill the gap in that cultural vacuum if Christianity were removed. Take away Christianity and evil reigns. And we've seen several gruesome examples of that. Charles Darwin's teachings on evolution led the way to devaluing human life and paving the way for horrific racism, abortion, and eugenics, an effort to weed out inferior breeds of humans, particularly black people. Karl Marx was the philosopher behind atheistic communism. His doctrines led to the slaughter of millions of people by Stalin in Russia and Mao in China, both completely sold out to Karl Marx's teachings and philosophy. Both Stalin and Mao tried to destroy Christianity in their country. They failed miserably. Christianity survived, and it thrives. Then it was Friedrich Nietzsche, who was an atheist, who claimed that God is dead. He hated Christianity, and he believed that some human beings were superior to other human beings. An inferior human being should be forced into slavery or have no right to exist at all. All physically and mentally handicapped people should be destroyed. Anyone who is weak, infirmed, who is a burden to society, has no right to live. And so, inspired by Nietzsche, a madman arose, determined to destroy most of humanity to benefit a superior race, Adolf Hitler. Hitler wanted racial purity for the Aryans and the purging of lower forms of humans all throughout Europe. What we got was the Holocaust, the deliberate annihilation of the Jewish people, millions of Jews tortured and killed. A world without God, a world without Christianity, is a brutal, fearful, hate-filled place, a hell on earth. History proves that out over and over again. But praise God, His gospel and His church and His people have been changing the world for 2,000 years. This morning we're going to take a look at three important ways that Christianity has changed the world: shaping culture, informing government and law, and promoting freedom and civil liberty. These three topics are huge aspects of human life, and Christianity has had a fundamental impact on each one. An enormous, truly immeasurable way that Christianity has changed the world has been in shaping culture. When the message of Jesus began to spread, it of course faced great opposition and persecution in New Testament times, and it was also a difficult time to live. Travel was dangerous, all kinds of things, very difficult. And yet believers launched out from Jerusalem all throughout parts unknown, trusting God to lead them, provide for them, use them for His glory in furthering the cause of Christ and making His great name known to the ends of the earth. They didn't go by force. They didn't try to overthrow government. They didn't use violence. They didn't try to enslave other peoples. They went with the love of Jesus and the message of salvation. They went bearing hope in a world of darkness, love in a world of hate, sacrifice in a world of greed, peace in a world of fear. Their lives were so different that people flocked to their message and to the person of Christ that they proclaimed. They brought a culture of life and love, of forgiveness and grace. This was practically unheard of in the ancient world. And the more the people came to Jesus, the more that the values of life and love and forgiveness and grace filtered into the culture at large, from individuals to families and churches to communities to whole cities, the culture changed. Now, along the way, there were some monumental events that propelled Christianity forward. Obviously, when the Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity in 312 AD, the impact of that event cannot be overstated. It is a watershed event in world history. Now, that does not mean that the entire Roman Empire was now filled with saved people following Jesus. That's not at all what happened. But it does mean that the Christian faith was no longer despised and attacked. Now it could be expressed openly. And as a result, it really began to spread. A few centuries later, people like John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and others began translating the Bible from Latin into the language of the people. And of course, they had to meticulously hand copy those scriptures, and that meant that they were very slowly disseminated. But although that impact was gradual, it was enormous. We read about this, but the fact that they started translating the Bible into the language of the common person is an enormous event in shaping culture. Then in 1440, a guy named Johann Gutenberg invented the printing press, to this day considered the single most important invention in the past 2,000 years. Not your computer, not a computer chip, not your smartphone, the printing press, number one. And the very first book that he chose to print on his printing press was the Bible, and now the most published book by far in the history of the world. So for the first time, Bibles were now mass-produced and mass-distributed. That's immense. Now, what do you need to be able to do if some guy hands you a Bible in your own language? you need to be able to read. And so began a massive effort to educate the general populace in how to read, along with other developments and advancements in education. By whom? By Christians. We'll look at the vast role of Christians in education in a later sermon, but needless to say, it is immense. Harvard, founded by Christians. Yale, founded by Christians. Princeton, founded by Christians. Cambridge, Oxford, St. Andrews, University of Edinburgh, all founded by Bible-believing Christians. 97 out of the first 100 universities founded by Christians. Let me backtrack just a moment and share one other monumental event that propelled Christianity forward in its influence upon the world. It occurred in 387 AD with a young man sitting in anguish in a garden in Milan, Italy. His name was Augustine, or Augustine, however you care to pronounce it. In turmoil over his life, he read the book of Romans and was saved. The conversion of Augustine to Christianity was one of the most important events in the history of Western thought. Augustine became arguably the most important Christian writer of all time after the writers of the New Testament. He has influenced Christian thinking on a wide range of subjects, touching whole cultures by his thought. These people and events have been in large measure responsible for the shaping of culture and were vital in the development of a civilized world. But I go back to what I mentioned earlier. Real change in a culture mostly happens one person at a time. And nothing changes the individual person more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So while these great events and great people had an enormous impact, the truth is that as individual Christians lived out their faith and led others to saving faith in Christ, as devout Christian men and women walked humbly before God and sacrificed for their fellow man, as they loved others with the love of Christ, as they showed grace and forgiveness, patience, kindness, compassion, as they put others above themselves, as they lived by a higher ethical standard, as they died to self and lived to Christ, the world saw those transformed lives, and the world is all the better for it. Cultures change as people change. And the more that people surrender to Christ and let Him change them, the more whole cultures will be transformed. You can be a change agent in your culture as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Christianity has shaped cultures, but Christianity has also influenced key aspects of cultures and societies. And one of those hugely important ways that Christianity has done that is providing the principles and ethics for government and law. Down through history, the architects of freedom and justice all relied heavily on the Christian value of our God-given freedoms. St. Ambrose, Thomas Aquinas, John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and many more. And so how has Christianity influenced law and government? Well, first of all, going back to New Testament times, the Apostle Paul taught that moral values, moral principles like the Ten Commandments were not just found in the Bible, but were available to all people being written on their hearts, as Romans teaches. Their consciences instinctively know that it's wrong to commit murder, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to steal. These are ethical values that are common to humanity. In other words, all human beings have a God-given sense of right and wrong. That truth has been proclaimed by Christianity for 2,000 years. Another foundational principle for justice in a society is the rule of having two or three witnesses. Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Well, that rule goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. Of course, that principle is reiterated in the New Testament in Matthew 18, where it says that we're to take two or more witnesses with us to confront a brother who is in sin. Today, most free countries in the Western world require having witnesses testify in a court of law. That is a Judeo-Christian principle straight from the Bible. St. Ambrose, who lived in the late 300s AD, confronted the emperor of Rome, the Roman emperor at that time, who had murdered someone. Ambrose showed, at no great risk to himself, he showed that no one is above the law. All people are accountable to ethical laws, no matter what their position of power or the elite status they may have. In other words, justice for all. A Christian helped establish that principle, and it is a landmark of civilization and of our legal system. No one is above the law. Justice for all. Then there was the influence of Emperor Constantine in the 300s. I mentioned him briefly earlier, after he converted to Christianity and made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. But he did several things that helped establish law as we know. But one of the things he implemented was he had the church bishops take on the role of being arbiters over lawsuits and civil disputes. That, of course, took a big workload off of Constantine and his courts, but it also gave the bishops a greater role and greater visibility in society. Well, that turned out to be a huge success. The bishops were so good at handling these cases and seeking truth and fairness in the process that many people actually converted to Christianity because of the experience they had with these Christian bishops. Later on in the 6th century, the Byzantine Emperor Justinian did something that was remarkable, really revolutionary. He completely reorganized Roman law, which had been around for centuries, and reorganized that under the principle of natural law as portrayed in the Bible. Natural law holds that there are unchanging moral principles that apply to all people equally and that all human beings have certain inalienable rights. The Christian legal system developed by Justinian became the basis for law and ethics in most European legal systems, as well as our own Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. 200 years after Justinian, Charlemagne did the same thing in the late 700s AD. His empire spread from France to take over most of Europe. And so he took the confusing and often conflicting laws of all those various lands and issued overarching dictates by which the citizens of his empire would function, dictates and laws based largely on the Bible. He stated, "Everyone shall live entirely in accordance with God's commands, justly and under a just rule, and everyone shall be ordered to live in harmony with his neighbor." In essence, love and obey God above all, and love your neighbor as yourself. Straight from the Bible. In 1215 AD, the Magna Carta was signed and became the basis for British law, and later on was a guide for the American patriots in pursuing freedom for themselves. Well, the Magna Carta is firmly grounded in Christian values and beliefs. It actually states that it was written, quote, "out of reverence for God and for the salvation of our soul and those of our ancestors and heirs, for the honor of God and the exaltation of the church and the reform of our realm." The Magna Carta was a pivotal document in human history in establishing liberty and justice for all. And it was founded upon distinctively Christian principles. There are lots of other examples, very specific examples, of Christianity's influence on government and law. But if you just get a list of some of our laws in our society, federal laws, criminal laws, civil laws, you'll find that many of those laws are based on the Bible and its ethical values and principles. Christianity, more than anything else, has had the greatest influence on the establishment of civilized government and law. Then last, one other force for good that came about largely through Christianity is the promotion of freedom and civil liberty. The fact is, not until the teaching of the New Testament did ideas about universal freedom, freedom as a right for all people, begin to take hold. Christianity has contributed so greatly toward human freedom and civil liberties that had Jesus never have been born, it is highly likely that freedom would only exist for the elite and the powerful. Everybody else would serve them one way or another. Wherever the name of Christ has spread, tyrants have trembled. Their reigns of oppression are put in new light and are found to be evil. And slowly voices cry out for freedom. Where Christianity spreads, freedom inevitably follows because it changes the very definition of human worth. So let's take a moment and talk about America in particular. I need to acknowledge something up front. I am one of those people who has never considered America a Christian nation, ever, even at its founding. No offense to those who think otherwise. I think it began as mostly Christianish or Christianized, but never a truly Christian nation. So just if you hold to that very strongly, just bear with me. I'll explain why. To be a Christian nation, you need to think about what the millennial kingdom will be like someday and compare that with America. A truly Christian nation would have a Christian king, Jesus. Where there are Christians, Jesus is their king. But the last thing that our founding fathers wanted was to have a king. They fled from a king back in England. But when Jesus comes back and sets up his Christian kingdom, it will have a king and he will be it. That's not what we have in America. A Christian nation would also be made up of Christian citizens, and yet from the beginning, America has welcomed peoples of all cultures, races, and religions. You don't have to be a Christian to be a citizen of the United States of America. Never have. A Christian nation would have the Bible as its main source of authority and instruction. And while it's true that the Bible was the inspiration for many of our governing principles and tenets, and the Bible was also used as one of the main reading books of the early schools in America, the fact remains that the government has never tried to force the Bible on people. We have always been an open society and welcomed all kinds of literature and the free exchange of opinions and ideas. So maybe the easiest way to see this is to compare America to Muslim nations. In many Muslim nations, you must convert to Islam or you die. Not so in America. No one is forcing anyone to convert to Christianity in America. The founders would have fought that to the death. In many Muslim nations, you must study the Quran. And if you disrespect the Quran in any way, you can be put to death. Here in America, you can mock the Bible, burn it, flush it down the toilet. We may not like it, but you are free to do so. In many Muslim nations, they've established absolute Muslim rule. The people are governed by a religion. Not so in America. The citizens of the United States of America are not governed by Christian rule. There's a vast difference. Having said all that, while the founders didn't set out to establish a genuinely Christian nation in the literal sense of that term, nonetheless, most of our founding fathers did have a clear biblical worldview. Most of them were Christians, not all, but most. And the Bible had an undeniable effect on them. And when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the Bible was an invaluable influence and guide for them. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence and second president of the United States, wrote that the American government was, quote, grounded on reason, morality, and the Christian religion. That couldn't be more clear. It is not a secular document written by secularists. It is a governing document written by devout men, mostly Christian men, using biblical principles of ethics and morality as their guide and foundation to establish a nation where freedom and faith could flourish. And utilizing many of the principles and the values of the Bible and the Christian faith, our founders created what would become one of the freest, most powerful, and wealthy nations on earth. They gave us a country founded largely on biblical principles where the atheist, the Muslim, the Jew, the Christian, the Buddhist, and anybody else was able to build a church or their own house of worship. They could worship the God of their choice. They could stand on a street corner and proclaim his or her views. They could publish books about whatever they believed, all without any kind of repression or punishment from the government. And we have enjoyed that remarkable Christian influence and heritage for over 240 years. Abraham Lincoln once said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their independence upon the overruling power of God." In other words, to recognize their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proved by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's very true. Thankfully, our founding fathers, and Lincoln would agree, our founding fathers chose not to form a government where they could shove belief in God down people's throats. A faith by force is no faith at all. They chose instead to make a nation where you are free to believe according to your own conscience. And yet it is absolutely true that only those nations or communities or families or individuals are truly blessed whose God is the Lord. So while I may not view America as a distinctively Christian nation, but more of a Christianized or Christian-ish nation, a nation based on some biblical principles, a nation full of a lot of Christians when it was founded, the fact is that if Jesus had never been born, had there never been a Christian movement called the church for the past 2,000 years, had there never been strong believers directly involved in the establishment of this nation, then there never would have been an America as we know it. It wouldn't exist. You can thank Christians for the United States of America. And God has blessed this nation greatly. It is through America that God has sent forth the greatest missionary movement in history. Hundreds of thousands of believers have left these shores and headed to foreign lands bearing the good news of salvation through Christ. They have translated the Bible into the language of foreign tribes and people groups all around the globe. They've taken Christian compassion and built hospitals and clinics, schools and orphanages. They've provided food and medicine, clothing, shelter. It is Christian workers and missionaries from America who have done the overwhelming majority of such compassionate work for the past 2,000 years. No other nation comes close. Additionally, America has stood for values like freedom, democracy, and equality like no other nation in history. And we have shared those values with the world and sought to spread freedom and equality wherever possible. We are a people who want to let freedom ring. That is a biblical value because Jesus came to set us free, free spiritually from bondage to sin, and free as individuals because of the value and dignity of every person. Let freedom ring. Those things happened because of the enormous Christian influence and values of most of the founders of our nation. The world owes a debt of gratitude to Christians for America. The world has been impacted beyond measure for good by the United States of America, and they can thank Christians for that. Culture, government, law, freedom, all undeniably influenced and shaped by Christianity for centuries here in America and in many parts around the world. And so when you have to deal with the government on some matter, or when you have to deal with our legal system and the courts on occasion, it may not be very pleasant. Every year in Flower Mound, I have to appeal the appraisal on my house. One thing that Flower Mound and other cities are known for is high taxes, high property taxes. And so I get to go through the process of taking pictures where I think this means this and this means that, and there's some erosion out back that's causing a downgrade in its value and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you can do comparative house prices of similar properties in your neighborhood and stuff. And so I make that appeal, and they accept or reject it, but it's a hassle. They have the right by law to raise my taxes 10% every year. And so, as I'm sure most of you face those kinds of things as well. So it is a hassle. It is an unpleasant thing, and I have files of records for all this stuff. And so lots of people have gotten into government and stuff and kind of muddied things up and made it all very complicated and often very unfair and burdensome. But remind yourself of the positive values and benefits of our government and our legal system. And remind yourself that although there are abuses and flaws and weaknesses, most of the good things in our legal system and in our form of government came from Christian principles. The very freedom we enjoy is grounded in Christian principles. And we can be very grateful that it is. Let's pray.